live.radio.
The people of Scotland, we are superheroes.
Andy live.radio.
The people of Scotland, we are superheroes.
Andy live.radio.
Yeah, welcome back to Indie Live Radio with me, Norrie Hunter, after a bit of a slow start, but we're up and running. And in the hot seat today, we have Dr. Matt McNaught.
Hello, good morning.
Is it morning?
I think it is, last I checked.
Yeah, good to have you back, Mark.
Absolutely.
Mark, you're over from France.
Yeah, I am, yes.
You're going to be in Scotland for a wee while, and while you're here, we've got you in. We're going to be talking all things Constitution.
Okay.
The last time we were in, we were trying to, it might be, I know, we're going over old ground, but what is a constitution? Why do we need one? Quickly on that.
Okay, all right. To summarize the Scotland under the UK, its constitution, to the extent that it exists, is the unwritten, uncodified UK constitution, which essentially is whatever the UK government says it is at any given time. And we can see during the Brexit negotiations, or whatever you call what's going on in Westminster, absolute chaos. Do they use Henry VIII powers? What powers do they use to do this? What, you know, are votes actually binding? It's just when and when you see what's happening in Westminster with the with, you know, over Brexit, you see the genuine dangers of operating without a written constitution, which Scotland can obviously do much better.
Yeah, that's now. Remember, we were talking about where you were here last time. You were about to see ministers
about
the constitution and get it into statute books.
Yes,
can you tell us how that's going?
Let's see. So I had submitted the constitutional draft that I'm working on at ScottishConstitution.com. Anybody can go and have a look. And it's a constitution I've developed over the last, since 2012, really. Mm-hmm. I've held conferences on it, I've developed it, and a friend of mine was able to put it up on wiki format, and I've also established a framework for a new system of laws to replace Scots law with the Scottish corpus of law, where current Scots laws can be integrated into this framework, and in addition to developing new laws as well to do, because so much of Scots law is so old, land reform, all of these things that are, go back, centuries, in the law, and it's so archaic, so arcane. And this also, in addition to the Constitution, there's also a framework for what I call the Scottish corpus of law, which needs to be filled in. I did discuss this with several functionaries, and they seemed very intrigued, enthusiastic. They asked me what I would like to have happen, and I said for them to adopt it.
Indeed.
However, I do understand why they are not able to be open about it or to say, oh yeah, we're going to do this. I mean, they still live within the UK under the
structures.
Scotland Act, in this, under the UK Constitution. So it's not like they can necessarily easily debate this especially before independence.
But apart from that, politicians you meet and professionals, they must be receptive to this. It's time has come.
Yes, I'll be at the SNP conference this weekend, and those who have seen it, I've had very favorable reaction from it, including quite a few prominent, prominent MPs, and who I will be speaking with again this weekend, and we can continue to sow the seeds to get, support for this platform. Now, there's a lot of talk about these citizens commissions and these other things, which I think is a good thing. And what I would like to do, which I'm going to a meeting on Sunday morning, which is addressing exactly this, organized by Joanna Cherry, who's spearheading this. But suggesting that rather, because what I've seen what Joanna Cherry has written about is to have these commissions where they, they get citizens together and then ultimately perhaps develop a Bill of Rights for. But what I want to suggest to her is this framework exists. There is a Bill of Rights. There is a Constitution.
Indeed.
And if they would consider using this as a framework for the commissions, because or else they're starting from scratch.
Indeed.
And they cited the They cited the Ireland, for example. They had citizens commissions for their for the abortion thing, for the abortion change, and these others. But this is so much bigger than that. You know, I mean, and you know, these are so many more questions that, I mean, as big a question as abortion is, I'm not disputing
that
whatsoever. But we're talking about a new state, what the form of the state is, and I'm just, it depends on how it's done. But I'm a little, I feel like time is of the essence, and I feel as if there's a lot of interest in developing a constitution, but what the site and the draft that I have developed and the framework is a complete framework that is not pretending to be the definitive draft, because it can still be modified, it can still be adapted.
That's the beauty of it.
And then also harmonized with the law, with and devising it in such a way that it's, you know, a truly modern system of law. It's like software. You know, it's like the Constitution's the operating system, and the laws are the applications.
That's right.
In addition, very important, I have been working with Nicholas Russell at Yes Day Scotland, and we are deeply involved with blockchain providers and companies to fully integrate blockchain, or what's called digital ledger technology, throughout the Constitution. This and you start with voting. You know, the voting system on blockchain, which is completely tamper-proof, but it goes so far beyond that. You can do, for example, contract management, treaty management, local referendums. I mean, the democratic possibilities are absolutely limitless in what can be done. And this would, were this to be, and we will continue to, whatever the Scottish government does, we're going to continue to develop it in the months to come, to the point where, and to where we can put forth solid proposals, priced, how much it's going to cost, what it needs to be done to have sovereign identities for all Scottish citizens, and basically be the first truly digital constitution and constitution and governing system.
Yeah, and you've gone to another small country's called Estonia to find out how they do it, because they're world leaders in this kind of thing.
Exactly, and I integrated in the it's formative stages. I mean, we're just beginning this, but I took several of the Estonian laws, one on the digital cards, one on the on the right to digital privacy, and the right to information. And so I basically copy pasted those into the corpus of Scottish law, we intend definitely to contact the Estonian government so we don't get sued for copyright infringement. But I'm sure that they're more than delighted to share their ideas with them. This is kind of always be adapted to Scotland. The intention is to make it so that legislators can be much more representative of their constituents than they have to do with regard to adopting legislation.
Yes.
And rather than having legislation one, legislation two over this or that, you've got it with, you know, you've got a fully developed legal system where the legislators maintain, but they don't have to keep passing laws for this or that. It's there as an integral system.
That's right.
It functions, and they can spend so much more time representing their constituents rather than passing laws and this type of thing. And so much of this can be facilitated with digital ledger technology and this thing that's we're just at the beginning of this wave, because there's so many countries that are beginning to use digital ledger technology.
They are indeed.
Exactly.
Everywhere.
But this would be the first where it was completely integrated within the Constitution.
And wow, exciting times indeed.
It is.
This might be the step up. We need this digital implementation, because before it wasn't there, and we just had people talking to each other, really.
Yeah.
Because the people of Scotland, as you probably know, Mark, are very political.
Yeah.
But see, when it comes to a constitution, there's a lot of ignorance out there.
No, absolutely, absolutely.
And we need to get, I don't know if you've got a billboard campaign or some kind of campaign to alert them.
Yeah.
Because this seems to be in the higher echelons of politics, like university lecturers and professors talking about it, rather than the downstairs people on the ground know about it.
Mm-hmm.
When you tell people that Scotland is probably one of the only countries, or UK, in the world that hasn't got one.
With Israel,
I can't remember the other ones.
New Zealand, I think. Something like
but
one of three out of 160 or something,
that
don't have a written constitution. And again, it's they technically have a constitution, but you know it's the Magna Carta from 12 whatever with the bill of, the English Bill of Rights of 1689, which guarantees rights to everyone except Catholics. And you read through this old British legislation, it's almost funny. They just have this kind of thing about not allowing a Catholic to get on the crown.
Listen, there's a man goes into the House of Commons wearing tights and a sword. That's how bad it is. Now listen, we talked about. For all the people who don't know, they look at constitutions. Probably the one they associate with is the American Constitution because of gun laws, etc. Yeah,
exactly.
And they look at that with horror.
Yeah.
Can you explain that is not the Constitution?
Yeah, exactly. And we typically get that reaction. Like, you say, oh, Constitution, that equals Second Amendment, that equals guns, that equals death. And there is that kind of... But it's also important to understand that while that is one clause within it, which is clearly outdated, the Second Amendment... was written to basically to enforce slavery. Mm-hmm. And it was intended to allow the militias, which they say a well-regulated militia, this referred to the slave militias that were there to enforce slavery, and they wanted to make sure that they were armed so that they could maintain slavery. But even then, the guns were like muskets.
And you had to load them down with
Exactly. Even a good marksman would take a shot a minute. I don't know, something like that.
Right.
They didn't even have revolvers yet. So so they did not imagine 16-year-olds with Uzis kind. Of thing. So while I view the U.S. Constitution as outdated and needs to be updated as well, and I'm hoping that comes in time.
Indeed.
But at the same time, it does provide basic rights: the freedom of speech, the freedom of press, that no legislature can overturn.
That's right.
It's very important. It's a constitutional right. Whereas there is in Great Britain, a freedom of speech and et cetera, but it's statutory.
Yes.
Any parliament can get rid of it tomorrow.
That's right. Theresa May can wipe that out.
Yeah, exactly. And for example, Theresa May wants to get out of the European Convention of Human Rights.
Yeah.
They can do that
by
statute. And the whole notion of parliamentary sovereignty, I think people need to understand, during the Brexit debate, we hear a lot about, the people are sovereign.
Yeah.
In the UK, you're not.
You're not.
It's the Queen in Parliament, which is sovereign. And we see this, and that's been at the basis of a lot of the Brexit debate. The idea, we're sovereign, the British people are sovereign, and no, they're not. It's the UK Parliament.
That's right.
And the people are subjects.
Indeed.
And it's only been recently, I think it was only in the early 1980s, they changed subjects to citizens, and that was because of the EU. You're subjects.
How ironic is that? Right, Mark, we're going to stop for a bit of music, and I'm going to come back to you after this. This is from, I think this is Breton music. See what you think of this, and then we'll come back to Mark Monot talking all things Constitution. Have a listen. Mark, a bit of... you're on.
Okay.
I'll just try and get that off. Nargonia, your university is in the Breton region of...
Yeah, in Rennes.
Which is a Celtic...
It is. It's not quite as the Celtic profonde as further to the west. Brittany is more Gangon to the edge of Finisterre. We're in traditional Brittany, but actually the more spoken languages there is Gallo, which is a Roman language.
Not far from Gaelic, is it? Gallo?
Is it? Not Gaelic, like Gaelic. No,
it's just different.
The words. I'm just talking. Anyway,
we left off there with the digital system from other countries. It's going to take the step up the constitution. The constitution can be changed. We know that it's not a static thing. It can be moved about. Just because the American one is stuck in the 17th century doesn't mean to say that's for all constitutions.
Exactly.
But what was going to get, if it would help the people out there, if we could take another country and see how they use their constitution to see what difference that actually makes to them. Because we already talked about citizens, not subjects. Now, I know other countries are monarchies, but they're still citizens. Is that due to constitutional?
Well, there can be. People are technically citizens here, but I think that the sense of in the United States. For example, that we learn about the Constitution from an early age. And I remember I was in elementary school, we had mock trials.
Yeah,
and
that's so
you
amazing.
And then in high school, we learn about the separation of powers, checks and balances. So, you know, on a broad scale, people know what the Constitution is. And of course, you can continue going on. I studied political science, so I learned a lot more about it. But most people, you know, I mean, it is standard education to learn about what the Constitution is. So you know your rights. You know, you have sometimes when policemen pull people over and they have, what are your rights?
Yeah.
You know, and then it's, you know, Fourth Amendment, search and seizure, you know, I mean, they know what, you know, and you see that in police films where, you know, people knock, you know, where's your warrant? That's what the Constitution is in everyday life. You know, people know that if the policeman knocks at their door, that they have to have a warrant in order to search it, that they can't arbitrarily arrest people. There has to be what's called probable cause in order to stop people or to, but there's a very defined, you know, and over the years, the Fourth Amendment against unreasonable search and seizure has been further refined. For example, what about cars? Well, okay, you don't need a warrant to search a car, but you do need probable cause. And these are very, you know, specified, you know, legal terms that if it is violated, that you have legal recourse against it in court. And so if you're, you know, if you've been stopped or, you know, you're undergoing, you know, some kind of criminal trial, that you know what their rights are.
That's the thing. I seen a program about a New York lawyer, and he had the Constitution in front of him as he was speaking, defending the, I think it was somebody on a drugs charge.
Yeah.
And the police had raided his car under the Constitution, blah, 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 and case dismissed.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't constitutionally
correct.
Yeah,
that would have been under the Fourth Amendment, search and seizure, and whether or not, you know, there was probable cause. So, you know, it's technical how that would have been done, but these principles, you know, they're either applied or misapplied. I'm not saying that, you know, everything's perfect, but there is a standard set of principles. Everyone has the right to an attorney, the right to witnesses, very important. And I'm watching, for example, closely observing the Catalan trials of the.
Oh, yes.
For all of the problems I have with the American system, boy, I wish that, you know, that they had the right to present all evidence on their behalf.
Yep.
And, you know, in the Catalan trials, you have, you know, it's parties like Vox, interrogating, you know, the political. It's like, what? I mean, inconceivable in the United States, the way it was politicized. So, you know, you look around at these different things and you see, America's, again, there's, but you could never have anything like that in the United
That's
States.
That's a great example of the Catalan. Well, we've only got to a minute 20, Mark, and as ever, for people who want to get more on the Constitution, you've got a couple of websites up and running. If you could
But first of all, scottishconstitution.com. Simply put, scottishconstitution.com. It's a wiki-based site, and so anybody can become a user and contribute their ideas. I really want this to be a broad-based, inclusive process.
I think it will.
I don't know how it's hard to say how that will proceed. What we're looking for now, we will be developing it in the coming months. I hope to come back here for a couple good months during the summer to work with everybody that I can.
Well, maybe get you back in again to the studio.
Oh, I'll be here. Don't worry.
Fantastic.
And please read it, learn about it, send on any, and I can maybe, hopefully I'll be able to do some interventions on Independence Live in the coming weeks, explaining more about it.
Brilliant.
And so I'd be more than happy to do so.
Well, it's a first, Dr. Mark, because you are the first guest we've ever had who's come back again. You're our first repeat customer, as it were. And many, many, many times you will be welcome in the studio to tell us more about the Constitution. Because we're running late, we have to leave it there. But if anyone wants to get in touch with Dr. Mark McNaught, get in touch with us at the studio. All the websites will be shouted out soon. We're going to play some music. I have no idea. It's because the system's absolutely down to bits. But this is Duran Duran. Big thanks to Mark McNaught. And, we've got to... We mentioned for our special French guest...
Greek, actually. Vasiliki's here with us.
Sorry, but you're studying France.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just didn't have to confuse me. Duran Duran. Thank you very much, Mark. Here we go.
Okay.
Hello.
Good morning. Is that Glenn Reid?
Yes, it is.
You're live on Indie Live Radio, Glenn, on the Norrie Hunter Show. Welcome aboard.
Good morning, Norrie. Well, hello to you.
Thank you very much, Glenn. Right, you're an SNP councillor in Aberdeenshire, and we're delighted to have you on. We're wanting to find out how a council differs in different parts of the country. We in Glasgow have got a SNP council. What's the situation up in Aberdeenshire?
Well, you're very lucky down in Glasgow. Unfortunately, up here, we have a ruling coalition of Tories, Lib Dems and some independents who are mostly really closet Tories.
Oh, that's a pity. Right, we've got a real problem just now, Glenn, on litter. Our bins are overflowing. We've got the wrong kind of bins. Do you have the same issues in Aberdeenshire? Is it the same kind of things?
Yeah, I think, we're a large rural authority, but there'll be very similar things as well in some things. I mean, we've got, the area that I represent, there's four towns and villages, and every mm-hmm. single one of them has the same kind of issues with regards to, like, littering, dog fouling, antisocial behaviour with parking, etc. You know, but there are other things that we have that you might not have. That we've got issues with rural connectivity, the big mm-hmm. bus companies withdraw their service, etc., and the councils are pressed for money, so they reduce their subsidies.
Well,
we've got isolated little pockets, and mm-hmm. you know, and it's really hard. But it makes people say there's job opportunities in your 17, 18, etc. You can't afford a car. Yeah. How do you actually get in there?
That's right.
So you know, we have to try and address them. But we have other areas that are very, very similar to yourselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, lack of community facilities, rising poverty, right across mm-hmm. the board.
Now, the Labour Party and the Conservative are all keen in the Parliament for the Scottish Government to fund the councils more. I take it you would back this.
Well, I mean, the Scottish Government can only fund with the money it's actually given. I mean, if you, it's a myth that the SNP Scottish Government are not actually funding the councils properly. First and foremost, they're funding them more money than they have ever received before. Uh-huh. But what people don't realise is there's transformational policies coming in here. We're moving towards 1140. I mean, we will soon have a Scandinavian style provision of childcare. Within the next year.
Yeah, that's
there'll be free childcare for all children from 2 to, to 2 to 5. I mean, it's got to be paid for, you know,
indeed.
And that money has to come from somewhere. Austerity is coming from Westminster. I mean, in 2010 to 2011, in real terms, mm-hmm. the Scottish budget has been cut by $2 billion up to this point. So what we receive just now, in real terms, you know, with inflation, etc., we are receiving $2 billion less than we did in 2010, 2011. Now, if you receive less, there's only so much you can do.
That's right.
So you have to tackle the priorities. But there mm-hmm. still is a record amount going into NHS and a record amount going into the council services. But mm-hmm. the councils are also being asked to actually put in place transformative policies that weren't there before. So they have to look at their priorities.
We've had guests on before, Glenn, that have said the main party, the unionist parties, are deliberately wanting more spending to bankrupt the government. Do you think there's any merit in that?
Well, no merit in bankrupting anybody, but
It's the argument, I mean, any merit in that argument, whereas they're demanding teachers get paid their 9%. They're demanding that, especially in Glasgow, the council women who for 10 years under Labour never got paid the same as men, they're demanding all kinds of things, and they know there's not finite resources within the Scottish Parliament.
Absolutely not. You've nailed it there. It's very, very easy to sit in opposition and then say, you know, we want this, we want that, pay for this, pay for that. But not one of those parties mm-hmm. in the Scottish Parliament actually proposed a budget. They just sat there,
listened
to the budget from the Scottish Government, mm-hmm. and then said, oh, we want this and pay for that. But nobody came forward, despite being asked.
Indeed.
You know, with actually an alternative budget. Now, we're in opposition up here with the, as I said, the Tories, the Lib Dems, and the independent group, you know.
Yeah.
But when we put a fully costed budget in because we felt we couldn't criticise the administration if we didn't actually put our own proposals
in. That's amazing.
Now, up here, it was quite simple. I mean, most of the councils, we're all struggling, etc. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that we looked at, the proposals that were coming forward from the Unionist parties, the Lib Dems and the Tories, they were basically saying, you know, one year after the Year of the Youth Young Person, they were putting forward a budget that was going to decimate that group the hardest. Their community facilities were going to get cut.
Yep.
It would have the most detrimental effect on them. In our budget, we tried to rebalance that as best we could and actually invest in facilities for them, opportunities for the young people, etc. But of course, we don't have the numbers, so our budget didn't prevail.
Yes, I know. It's a tough gig you've got, Glenn, compared to the SNP group in Glasgow. But they are doing really good work, apart from the fact that we have the bins. Let's talk about litter and bins in particular.
Yes.
There was, I think it was Rosanna Cunningham, put through a bill, if somebody's seen throwing litter from a car, they can be done. How do you police that? How do you manage that? It's impossible just about, unless you've got everybody wearing GoPro cameras in their heads. You can't do it. But there must be other ideas to stop people littering in your areas and our areas.
Yeah, absolutely not. I mean, it's part of the antisocial behaviour that I was actually talking about. So up here, again, in every community that I represent, you know, they have the similar problems. And it is, the blight is dog fouling, it is littering everywhere, and there's other things such as parking and disabled bays and inappropriate parking. Now, the councils, as I said before, the resources are strapped. Up here we have only, for a large rural authority, we only have four traffic wardens.
Four.
So that's
four.
Fairly ridiculous. There's no way they can absolutely cover the towns and areas of Aberdeenshire.
No.
I mean, you know, it's a huge population.
Yep.
But on top of that, you also have the police. And let's face it, the police have probably far more important things to be doing than to be running around, you know, looking at dog fouling and all that kind of issue.
Mm-hmm.
The councils are all moaning and complaining about a lack of resources. What you could do, and I think it's a reasonable idea that I'll be putting forward.
Aye.
But it's... We have three dog wardens and four traffic wardens, as I said before.
Right,
but we have a fleet of six. We have a fleet of 600 vehicles, each one with a council driver, isn't it? Now, I wouldn't be asking for any of the council operatives to be doing anything other than normal duties.
Yes.
But if they were all issued with handheld enforcement machines, basically, as they're driving about, if they see anything, then they can actually just stop the van and actually enforce it. You know, issue a fine to the litterers, issue a fine to the dog fowlers. You know, if you see somebody parked in a disabled bay, when they're parking to go do something else,
indeed,
and they notice that, you know, somebody's actually in the wrong area, issue a fine. What you can do is, I mean, you can educate people as much as possible. Now, most of the people that that would have run around the street, you know, would have let their dogs foul and just out, you know, because they didn't really know any better, that's all changed. We have educated everybody. Everybody that can be educated has been educated. The same with littering and stuff.
I know.
You know, those that aren't inclined to do it, well, they won't do it. But you need to actually find the people that are causing the problem. Once you start doing this, once they think they can get caught, then a lot of these behaviours will change.
Yes,
and on top
indeed
of that, as you have, you know, you have these councils that that are really strapped for cash, etc. I'm not proposing it as a money generating scheme, but there would be a knock on effect. You would actually generate some money.
Yeah, you would.
Which can go into vital services.
Yeah, it's a win-win. Well, good luck with that one, Glenn. I'm going to be putting that to our Glasgow councillor when they come and take the hot seat in the studio. The other thing I wanted to talk to you about was Wednesday's news. Nicola Sturgeon stood up and gave a 30-minute speech, which the BBC didn't put out. They put Snooker out. But Indie Live Radio...
Yeah, I believe that, yes.
Indie Live Radio broadcast a whole lot. What did you think of the speech itself? And did it give you enough hope for the future for Independent Scotland?
Well, yeah, I think the timing, I mean, lots of people have been, you know, lots of campaigners anyway have been itching, you know, they've been waiting to get going on a campaign. And Nicola has taken her time, thought everything out, and, you know, and when she announced it, I think, you know, it's almost the perfect time to do it. It's just before the conference, and it gives people enough time to digest it.
Yeah.
With her plan, you know, announcing it, you know, by 2021, it gives a clear path towards it. So now they can actually start preparing everything within Holyrood. They can actually get the framework in place. Yeah. It allows the debate to start.
The
proposal that there's going to be a citizen assembly is excellent. It means it can draw in voices from all over Scotland.
Yeah.
To actually have an honest, open debate where we, you know, and everyone's listened to and heard. I mean, I personally, I think it's great. There'll be cross-party talks. I mean, I would urge everyone to get involved.
Well, Glenn, I don't know if you heard Dr. Mark Minot was on before us, and he was talking about the citizens' assemblies as well, a place where everybody can get together, get in there, talk about the issues, because this is it's not just one small issue, it's a number of big issues, and the Constitution is merely one of them.
Absolutely. And then one of the great things about this, you know, as I envisage it, I've not seen too many details of it. You know, I know it will be independently chaired. But, I mean, the Yes movement was a broad church. It wasn't just SNP people.
That's
it wasn't
right.
just Green people. It was just people who believed that independence is the norm for all countries and this is what we should fight to achieve. But also, there was a broad church on the No camp. It was, you know, the Labour, most Labour, Conservatives mm-hmm. and Lib Dems. So it could strip away the party boundaries.
That's right.
And allow people just to have a healthy debate. And, you know, and so it's not like, hopefully there wouldn't be the dogma of, oh, you're all SNP or you're all this kind of thing. It's just, let's actually talk about it. You know, what is our vision for the country? Okay, your vision is within the UK. Okay, now tell us how, you know, sell that to us. What, you know, where will we benefit from that? And then we all, you know, for the independence campaigners, we can put our vision and we can debate the finer issues. And by the time we actually get to the vote, people will have a much clearer and better understanding of exactly where we're going and what we can do.
Indeed, and I liked Nicola Sturgeon's tone. Welcomed all to the Tories, the Lib Dem and the Tories. Bring forward your plans, because right now Britain is broke. This Westminster system is broke. It needs to be fixed. How could you fix it? And the benches on the Tory side were looking at their phones, etc. And Willie Rennie and James Kelly came up with... just the most stupid. Even Brian Taylor later on was to say this was a single transferable question, saying that you couldn't. The SNP can't even deal with homelessness, but they're talking about the Constitution. Takes you back to 2014, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, but hopefully, you know, once we actually start the process, you know, they can leave that behind. I think there'll be a responsibility placed on the opposition. You know, those that are arguing in favour of the of, you know, staying within the UK, they managed to carefully avoid it by you know, launching Project Fear and just going completely negative. You know, but if they're involved in the Citizens' Assembly, you know, whether it be parties or just their supporters, they're going to have to come out.
They are.
And try and explain their vision. I haven't come across anybody who, you know, who's actually in my life up here, and you know, the people I speak to, etc. No one's from the unionist side has actually come forward to me and said, actually, this is why, other than like traditional reasons, we've always been part of the UK, or we're scared. Mm-hmm. But they haven't actually given us a vision of how we can actually grow and develop within the United Kingdom. Everything I get is just like, well, that's how it's been, you know, or you know, we can't be divisive. But we've had enough division anyway with Brexit. We're, you know, there's loads of polar arguments.
I know.
But let's build a vision and let's discuss it.
And let's get on to it. Yeah.
Let's put them on their back foot. You know, let's say, you know, if you want to take part in this, and you should take part in this because you're very fervently for the union, sell us the union.
Sell us it, indeed. Now, Glenn, we've got about 40 seconds left. Growth Commission, good or bad?
Sorry, the what commission?
The Growth Commission.
I think it was a worthwhile exercise. There are points in there that you know, that I've enjoyed reading, and I agree with. There's other points I disagree with. Kind of thing. I think we needed to actually reflect on it, and it was one of the steps that would take us forward towards where Nicola. You know, Nicola.
Yeah. Oh, we're coming up for the news. It's we just got. We just got interrupted by the news. We're going to have to cancel the news and. Sorry, Glenn, I'll just get this. This is bad timing. 2 seconds, Glenn. Just hold on there.
Sorry,
it's okay, mate. Just you hold on. Just get rid of this. Get rid of this. It's just live radio, the problems and the issues. We'll get that off. Right, Glenn, you back?
Yes, I am, yes.
Right.
The joys of live radio.
On that note, we'll have to cut away. But thanks for joining us, Glenn. It's been a delight having you on. And perhaps if you're down in Glasgow, we'll maybe get you into the studio.
I'd love that, Noria. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you, Glenn. Now we'll go back to Canuck. Thanks to Glenn. Now it's time for a bit of music, and it's... Young song. Right, time for getting the phones again. Here we go. Let's see if we can get Cathy from Outer Hebrides.
Hello?
Hello, is that Cathy out of the Hebrides for Independence?
Yes, it is.
You're talking to Norrie Hunter on the Indie Live radio show.
Oh, hi, Norrie.
How are you getting on with your preparations for tomorrow, Cathy?
Oh, grand. Absolutely grand. But obviously there's all these last-minute things going on and we're all just running around like mad lunatics, if I'm honest.
That's a microcosm of life in Indie Live Radio today. We're running about like mad chickens as well. We just want to see how it's all going.
It's all going great. It really is. Everyone's making their way. They're all posting up photos of where they are on their journey.
Uh-huh.
Pipe band are on their way.
Oh, good. I forgot about the pipe band. Yeah, that's the... I forgot about the pipe band. That's the marching pipe band, isn't it?
Yes, sir. All of the pipes and drums.
That's
the
right.
Independence pipe band.
Yes, they were crowdfunded, or were the Scottish Independence Foundation funded them?
Yes.
Anyway,
plus a crowdfunder.
Yeah, I can't... Well, I hope this is... it's getting live-streamed, isn't it?
Yes, I think somebody's coming up from your own area to... live stream.
That's great.
And we're putting drones up for it as well.
Fantastic. This is in the light of the last week. Nicola Sturgeon has her speech on Wednesday. I think there's a bounce in everybody's step, don't you think?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I just wish the end of term would come rather quickly, like tomorrow.
Yes, I know. And it's...
To be honest, I'm going to be honest, I haven't had a chance to read it all in full because there's been messages whatnot bandying about. But
yes.
The whole thing is very positive.
It was
very positive. And there's no other way to it for it. It's just got to be done.
Now, can you tell us how long the route's going to take and where the starting point is, just for people who might be listening just now, making their way across?
The starting point is at the Old Acres Rugby Park across from our council offices,
right,
on Sandwick Road.
The rugby park.
And it will, proceed up what's left of Sandwick Road.
Uh-huh.
On the route, and then it'll go up Matheson Road.
Oh, I know Matheson Road. Yep.
To the Spa roundabout.
Aye, I know.
Then we will turn left there, and we go along Bayhead and through the main town.
Yeah. Now,
and carry on round, and the rally area is the same area starting point.
Right.
The Acres ground.
Aye, that was a question. That was the next question. Glasgow have said they can't handle 100,000 marchers. Can Stornoway handle, I don't know how many you're expecting tomorrow?
I'm going to be honest, Noddy, we don't know how many to expect because it's not like your usual marches where people can just walk up on a CityLink bus and,
that's right,
you know, for £5 or £6 or whatever.
Aye.
It's a somewhat expensive journey for, you know,
indeed,
indie supporters. It is a very expensive trip for them, you know.
I know.
And we really don't know how many to expect. We can't even, we're trying to guess the local turnout. We're not even managing to guess the local turnout, to be honest with you.
Yeah. We're
hoping for a few hundred anyway.
That'd be...
We're hoping for between 500 and 1,000.
That is good going. I think you can get that easy. Now, there's a Cayley, isn't there, tomorrow night, and it's all filled up. That's the other thing we've been asked to ask.
Yeah, there are some tickets left.
Oh.
But that has had a venue change. That had been advertised as being in the Sea Angling Club.
That's right.
But we've moved the venue over to the Stornoway Golf Club.
Oh, right, because I've got Sea Angling Club here, so that's the golf club.
That's the golf club.
Right, perfect.
And same time.
It's
a venue change.
And will you get the pipe band in there to do a tune?
Oh, yeah, they're definitely going to be doing all of that. Oh, definitely, they're all ready to go.
Well, we can't wait to... all we've got to do now, Cathy, is wish you all the very best and all the well done on all your hard work getting this together. And we'll play a tune for you. I don't know what one it'll be, but we'll get something played for you. But thanks for joining us on Indie Live Radio today.
And if you could just thank everyone for us, for all their support, it's very much appreciated. And we look forward to seeing whoever's able to make the trip.
That's, well, we'll convey your thanks again. Right, thanks very much, Cathy, and good luck for tomorrow.
Okay, thank you, Noddy. Bye.
Bye-bye now.
The people of Scotland, we are superheroes.
Indie Life.Radio.